This is Brother Bedford, and welcome to Conversations with Black Millionaires.
This is a program where we work very hard to bring you the best, the brightest, the most talented, the most gifted, to share their minds with you so that you can begin to take what it is that they share in these conversations, the things that they've done, where they've been, the challenges that they've had, and now you can take that and apply it to your own life. And so we work very hard to bring you those individuals. And without any exception, today's show is another bomb. I should just say it just like that. This gentleman that I'm about to have a conversation with, I'm honored and I'm overjoyed because we've been knowing each other on and off. Not necessarily off, but in communications with each other on and off. But we've been knowing each other for some years, and we have some similar interests, a similar background as to how we both entered into this arena of entrepreneurship. And so we're going to get into that a little bit later. But I'm just extremely excited to have a conversation with my brother, Benny Randall Jr. today. Now, Benny started out in the music business as a dancer, hype man, a rapper. And during this time, he regularly toured the country, entertaining hundreds of crowds. Not feeling quite complete, though, he moved to Brooklyn, New York, in 1994 with only $500 in his pocket. Now, times were certainly hard renting a room in an attic and at one point having to sleep in his car, but he never gave up. Now, after losing his sister, two brothers, a firstborn child, and a father, Benny slowly realized that all of the challenges he faced held some sort of lesson and knew the reason he was put on this earth was bigger than himself. Now, as he began to share his story with others, the motivator was born. Now, after the success of his first book, The Motivation Factor, the speaker with the golden voice, and you'll hear that in just a moment. This is what Les Brown called him. I think everyone can agree that this is the man with the golden voice. Benny gained the opportunity to speak in front of small organizations and Fortune 500 companies. Now, Benny said he had found his life's purpose to help people discover the greatness within themselves. Now, his two best-selling audiobooks, The Inner Power to Create Your World and The Powerful Mind, went on to generate $2 million in sales. Now, we're not talking about these instant audio sales. I remember Benny when he was slinging the audiobooks. We're talking about real audiobooks, and we're going to talk about that as well. Now, Benny has stated that he's on a mission to inspire 1 billion people before leaving this earth, and true to form, my brother is on that path. Without further delay, I want to welcome you to today's show, my brother, Benny Randall Jr.
Thank you so much, Brother Bedford, man. I got to meet that guy, man. He's a good guy. Thank you so much.
Say, man, who is that guy? Well, I can tell you firsthand, Brother Benny, I'm honored to know him. You know, I'm honored to know him and the work that he puts in and day out.
I'm humbled to be on your show, brother. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you. And of course, we got other connections, and we'll get into that a little bit later in this discussion. But before we get going, I mean, I just shared some of the things that you've accomplished and some of the things that have been the driving force behind you getting started. But in your own words, take a few minutes to tell this audience, who is Benny Randall Jr.?
Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. I'm a man on a mission to inspire 1 billion people. And the reason why I say inspire, because of Brother Bedford, you know, when I got with my coach, and he said to me, what do you want to accomplish? I said, I want to make $1 million. He said, that's not big enough. I said, I want to make $2 million. He say, that's not big enough. I say, I want to make $10 million. He say, that's still not big enough. And I was like, then I don't understand. And then he said that you need money is not big enough to get you where you want to go. He say, right. One of you adjust it a little bit and say you want to inspire 1 million people, and the money will follow. And I said, wow. So that right there showed me the turn of the mindset of how, you know, if you do it just for money, you may get the money, but you'll be a slave to it. Okay. Uh-huh. So there's a difference right there versus if the money follow you, you won't have to worry about it, because people can say whatever they want, but you know, money makes the world go round. Things have to happen, but that just can't be your attention. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, your background. Now, I've stated that we have similar interests or similar background because I too, like yourself, started in the music business many years ago.
he said many years ago.
right. And so, and you like myself, you know, you had that background. Now, I didn't do all of the dancing and the things that you've done, but tell me, you know, how did you make that transition? You know, how did you get your start as an entrepreneur from going from an entertainer, a dancer, a hype man, and a rapper, and meeting so many different individuals? How did you make that transition? And for that noise, those who hear, you know, Benny's on his boat, so.
No, it's not my boat. It's my friend's boat.
Okay, he's got a boat. You know, just to show you the way as Billy always says, this is a lifestyle, right? You know,
it's not a game. It's a lifestyle. Yeah, I'm in Miami.
It's not a game. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah, I'm in Miami. I did a very, very successful money mastermind down here, and the weather was so good, I decided I shouldn't go back right away. So, so
right, he was wanting to say, I thought he said he was from New York, and they listening for that, hear his boat honking in the back. But no, he's down in Miami. You know, I need to be down there myself with Brother Benny.
Hey, brother, come on down. You're always welcome, brother. You're always welcome. You know what I mean?
Thank you. I appreciate it. See, here we done got off. See, we know each other. We done got off already talking about trips to Miami. So let's get back on point. How did you make that transition, man, from the music business as a dancer, a hype man, and a rapper to get into this arena of entrepreneurship?
Here was the beautiful thing. Why I was being a hype man and dancer, I was around entrepreneurs because the guys I was dancing for was a group called Afro-Rican at that time before I made my own record. And being with them and being with the leader, a guy by the name of Derek Ramin, he was an entrepreneur because he was the one that was making all of this happen. You know what I mean? So all of us can go with him, you know, because he had that first hit record, you know, a record called Give It All You Got. And what I learned is that, you know, wow, I would see people giving this guy $4,000 or $5,000 for us to perform for like 20 minutes. And I was like, wow, this is a lifestyle I need to know more about. So I began to pay a lot of attention to how the business of it was doing, you know, was happening. And what I learned from the music business is really very similar to the speaking business, you know, and it taught me some very important things about dealing with promoters. You know, it's the same thing as dealing with event planners, you know. So it was really, really easy, but I got to see how people appreciated a product, and that product was a record. It made people happy. It made people dance. And I said to myself, wow, I can't believe this is a business. So I went on to start doing my own records and touring. And I realized that this is 95% business and 5% show. When the show business, like, because if your business wasn't right, you wasn't making no money. So you had to become an entrepreneur. Okay, and then what happened, Brother Bedford, is that, you know, when you got a hot record, everybody's calling you, the phones never stops ringing, and that type of situation. But once your record is not hot no more, Brother Bedford, you call these people, they ain't even answering your phone call.
Yeah, they don't even know you no
they
more,
don't
right?
even know. They used to call me for the parties, you know, they used to call me for, when you ain't got a hot record, they looking at the next person. I was like, wow. You know, so I have to take more control of my life. So, and to be honest, this is something I'm going to disclose that I probably never disclosed before in any interview. And that is, I felt so bad. And what I mean, I kind of felt like, wow, they're not checking for me no more. You know, I got to do something. And that's what prompted me to move to New York in 1994 in Brooklyn with $500. Because, you know, dude, it was something I don't think I never told people. I was at the drive-through of a McDonald's in Fort Lauderdale. At that time, I wasn't a vegetarian like I am now. And Brother Bedford, this young lady, seems she was like, oh my goodness, what up, Benny Ben? I was like, everything is cool. It's like, wow. So what are you doing now since you don't have a hot record no more? And just like that, wow. I went silent. Brother, wow. It dug into me. Like, it was like, whoa. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of awakening. And from that point, I decided I got to get out of here because I got to make some type of change. I just didn't know what the change was. So I got to make some change. So, man, I decided to take all my stuff and bounce to Brooklyn where I knew no one. And I figured if I was in New York, I'd be around the bigger rappers that we had got to tour with and everything. And therefore, it would change the landscape of what I was. So I got up here, Brother Bedford, and I had one record called EIO, and I signed with Polygram for, you know, they probably had me on the label for like 6 months or a year, and then they dropped me. And, you know, I got that little $5,000. I thought I was the man. You know what I mean?
$5,000 advance, right?
Yes. I got it because it was just for the single because they haven't determined whether they wanted to do an album. You see what I'm saying?
Right,
so it was
right.
just for the single. You know what I mean? And then I went out to Queens and I performed with the lady who sing La Da Dee, Crystal Waters, La Da Dee, Da Da Da. You know,
Crystal Waters.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, you know what? I think I got an old picture of that I'm going to throw up. But I got to perform with her. So I was like, this is going to be the beginning. And at that time, they was going through a lot of stuff with Vanessa Williams at that time. You know, I don't know if you remember back in the days. And they basically just pushed me on the shelf, man. So that little $5,000 started disappearing and disappearing. Dude, I had to get a job, like a regular job. You know what I mean? And it was during that time that I realized that, you know, you got to be more in control of your life. And Grin, the only way it seems to do that, you have to be an entrepreneur. Because I've learned, Brother Bedford, that you either going to work to build somebody else's dreams when you wake up, or you're going to work to build your own dreams. And I said, I want to build my own dreams. And then that's when I began to do a lot of soul searching. So those first 3 years, Brother Bedford, in New York was extremely hard. What I mean, I lived in a room in an attic in Brooklyn. You know what I mean? I shared the bathroom with 8 people that I did not know. Okay. You know, that it wasn't the nicest place, but, you know, let's just say I had a roof over my head. But you know what I used to do, Brother Bedford? I used to look out the window and I used to say, wow, it's so nice to be in this penthouse. Because, you know, the attic is like the smallest room on top, right?
Right, right. That's good.
That's what you say. And then, see, the bathroom was on the second level because it was 3 levels, right? So the bathroom was on the second level. So I'd be like, oh, man, I got to go down to the West Wing to go to the bathroom. You know what I mean? So, you know, people could call me delusional or whatever it was. But I felt that if I can change the pictures inside of my head, Brother Bedford, if I can change those pictures, that eventually it would have to give away to me. It would have to do what I see. And that's the beauty of the mindset, which I teach everybody now. You know, a lot of my clients is that you have to see it inside first and then give the universe an opportunity to deliver it for you. And I think what the most traumatic thing that really let me know that I had a purpose, Brother Bedford, and disclaimer right here, you know, ain't gonna be a little graphic, but I'm gonna just tell you like this. I was sitting in the laboratory that will be the bathroom on the second floor, and Brother Bedford
in the West Wing,
all right,
right,
and the house was so old that the floor dropped out while I was still doing my business on the toilet, okay?
Wow.
And I could see the kitchen, and I tell you, that gave me an eye opening because, Brother Bedford, when I tell you I was sitting, you ever see those cartoons like where everything falls around the person, and but that's just that one little thing holding them up? That had to be God just holding that toilet up, because I'm telling you, had the toilet fell in the first floor like everything else around me, literally the tub was hanging on, and it was just, well, I literally had to dive into the hallway. You know what I mean? You know, to get out of it, you know, to grab on the door and just hope everything. Because I thought I was going to die right then. But I didn't, Brother Bedford. And here's what it taught me. it taught me that in every lesson, there's a blessing. The fact that everything around me fell out and I still survive, that's how life is. Sometimes everything is going to fall out. But if God has planted your feet, you're going to be all right, regardless of everything that fall out. And that's what let me know, Brother Bedford, I got to get real focused on what I wanted to do. No matter what happens around me, if this, I've never had a bathroom drop out on me and I survive. You know what I mean?
No, that's a one of a kind story right there, bro. I don't think too many people.
You know what I mean? So I said to myself, man, you know, like they say, this is an omen to say, okay, you can do anything. Because if you could survive this, because I tell you, Brother Bedford, when I'm telling the audience, had that toilet fell down, I would have landed right on top of the stove, all right, which was on the first floor, because the toilet, the bathroom was right over the kitchen. Who knows what would have happened? Would I have broke? I would have died. I don't know. I just know it was not my time to go. So let me fast forward, and then I realized that I had to start searching for what was going on in my life. And in the midst of all that isolation, Brother Bedford, I'm sorry, I'm so long-winded. You can shut me up when you want to.
Go ahead. No, this is good stuff here. This is good. Go ahead.
I was, you know, what I realized in that isolation period going forward, sitting in that room, is that, you know, that beautiful voice inside, which I call the God voice, begin to tell me this is all part of your journey. You need to learn more about yourself inside in order for you to go beyond where you need to go. And I said, wow. So I began to pray every day. I began to meditate. And then I ran into a gentleman who was a billionaire. And I'm not going to say his name because he doesn't like that. But let's just say he became my coach. And he began to instruct me on how to deal in entrepreneur mindset every day with everything you do. And one thing he told me is that, what do you love to do? What are you passionate about? I say, I love to help people and I love to talk. And he said, well, then there you are right there. What you need to start speaking about things that can serve others. And he said, would you smart in school? I say, nope. He said, well, then what you should do is take all these experiences, because, of course, I told him about the bathroom, the house, and all that. He thought it was hilarious, you know, but he worked with me. But from that point on, he would say, you need to package your experiences. And I say, huh? He said, yeah, because, see, everything that you survive can help somebody else survive. And if you help one person, you have made a contribution to the world. And I said, wow. And that's when I began the process of soul searching, you know, Brother Bedford. And you know, from that point on, it was like, you know, and as relatives started to go, and I remember, you know, me and my sister was very, very close together. And, you know, I remember, you know, she was murdered by her her then husband because she wanted a divorce. And what I found out is that, like, when I touched her body in the casket, Brother Bedford, when I touched that body, I realized that was not her. I realized that was just the clothing she wears. And I said, wow, there's more to us then. So it all started to come together about finding out who I was inside. That's when it began to come together. And I said, wow. And then, you know, my coach began to tell me, the more you learn about you, the more you will learn about the world. And don't worry about the money. The money will follow that purpose and that passion. Just worry about the service to others. And I said, wow. I hope that answered your questions. I'm sorry, bro.
No, that's a great question on great answer, and thank you for sharing such, you know, some people don't like to share a lot of the intimate details that really got them started. And I really appreciate you sharing that, because people who listen to this, they will be in those circumstances or similar circumstances. I can't say that everybody will be sitting on a throne and a globe somewhere, but at least they may be in a touchy situation and, you know, needing to hear that, hey, someone survived that and went through that. So thank you for sharing that. Now, you mentioned after you shared this with your coach of what you like to do, and he talked about packaging. So your first step after that, you started packaging these stories or your experiences. How did you do that? What was the first step? Was it the book or was it the audio books first? What came first?
It was the motivation factor is the paperback book. Because, see, I wasn't good in school, so I wasn't a great writer. But I began to just, you know, my coach told me to put your thoughts together. And then he said that if you don't package it, you can't scale it. I want y'all to listen to it. I just gave you a powerful nugget there. If you don't package it, you can't scale it. So anything that you want to distribute has to be able to be packaged in order to be scaled. Because everybody can't have you as a person, and everybody can't have you as a coach. So yeah, I began to write, and I started writing one page a day because I really didn't know what to write about at that particular time. Like, how should I start this? And the motivation factor was a very simple book, which you could still get on BashaniBusiness.com. Shameless plug. Not Bashani Business, I'm sorry. BashaniBooks.com, BSHANI Books.com. Shameless plug. But that was the first book that I wrote. Okay. And it was very simple. Like, if you read it, it literally, you can read this book in an hour because I kind of wrote it the way I think. You know what I mean? Simplicity is the key. And so, but what I realized though, after I wrote that, I began to leverage it to go to places to be able to speak. So at first I would be like, you know, if you allow, you know, because people are not going to book you right away. Okay. I don't care what nobody tell you. You got to get into that groove. So I was like, I got to make it a win-win situation. So I felt like I write the first book and use it as a leverage tool to either they're going to let me sell books when I speak there, you know, or they're going to buy the books when I speak there, because eventually I want to get to the point. But I would always record my sessions that I did wherever I spoke. You know, that was part of the deal, allow me to record it, which was really the catalyst to going to the audio books. And then my coach said, okay, your book is good, okay, but your power gift is your voice. Why are you not speaking more? Like, why are you not making an audio book something that people can really resonate with your voice? And I said, wow. And that began the audio book game for me. And then that's when I went on to start recording sessions of when I would speak at events. And the Inner Power to Create Your World was actually done in front of probably about 6 or 7 women in New Jersey. And that audio book.
Wait a minute. No men, brother?
Hey, the ladies brought me in. I'm going where the money was at. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? The brother didn't book me. You know what I mean?
Right, I got you.
So she booked me, a young lady booked me to come and speak to her group of girlfriends about, you know, empowering themselves and things like that. And, you know, so I said, okay, if they're not going to pay my rate that I wanted, you know, at least let me record it, never knowing that that was one of the best-selling books I've ever recorded that went on to make more than $1 million alone by itself, okay? Just that it was 3 hours that I cut down to 2. And all I did was really absorb. I put on a microphone, and I recorded it into my mixer, and I edited down from 3 hours to 2 hours, and that became one of my best-selling products. And then my coach said to me, see, that's what I told you, because you have that voice and you know what I mean. And everybody that hears me speak a lot of times, you prompted Les Brown. And then I did a thing with George Frazier where he said, you know, you have that fallopian voice. It was
right.
So what I've learned that you have to find that gift. Brother Bedford. Uh-huh. And everybody has a gift, whether you believe it or not. They have. So I don't care if you have that gift of writing. You have something that you do not have to go to school for. Okay? That is just natural. And to talk is natural to me. Those experiences wasn't natural, but I made them important in my life. Why? Because, sure. You know, when things happen to you, Brother Bedford, you have two options. You can look at it in a positive way, or you can look at it in a negative way. Prime example, you get fired from your job. You can get mad, come back and try to shoot everybody. Or you can say, oh, it was time for me to leave. And then you go and search and get a better job. Because a lot of times, if you really look back on your history, a lot of people don't realize, even when you've gotten fired, the next job is always better. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Even if you got a couple more dollars, maybe better hours, you know. So it's all about the mindset. So if you go the negative way, you're going to get a negative response. If you go the positive way, you're going to get a positive response. I hope that answers your questions.
No, that's beautiful, man. You answered the question. And not only did you answer the question, you dropped so many nuggets in there. And I just want to kind of maybe just touch on a couple of things so that the audience doesn't miss these beautiful points that you laid out. One, I recall being in a meeting with Bob Johnson years ago, and there was a bunch of black business owners or African-American business owners, or even those who were desirous of being business owners. And someone asked a question, several questions, but one question that points to what you talked about here is, he said, most African-Americans don't build a business to scale. And so as I listened to you, and you talked about packaging and developing a product so that you can scale. That's so important because, like yourself, you know, I coach and deal with a lot of individuals who work to build businesses, but it's only them. Maybe they just have a coaching component, or maybe they have some type of service where they're swapping hours for dollars. But they can never scale their business without packaging it. So you hit on that, and I want to make sure that our listeners go back, listen to exactly what Benny did to package his product, or create the product, but package his experiences to create the product. And that's the second thing I want to highlight, is that you throughout this journey, you pointed out how you created products, the first product turned into the second product, and even how you recorded your live presentation, and that turned into a product that made over $1 million. I mean, I think that's something that people should listen to, that Brother Benny went and spoke at an event for 3 hours. He had it edited to 2 hours, or he edited it. Isn't that amazing how you're still able to use your old studio skills, even
absolutely
in your profession?
See?
So nothing goes to waste, right?
I'm glad you caught up on that. And that's a bit, never look back at your life and say, why did I do that? Because you never know, you know, why things happen. You know what I mean? And then what happened when that made over me, I went on ahead to do another one called, you know, The Power of the Mind, you know, and then that made over me. You know, I was saying, see, I know where my gift at. I need to be able to speak it out. So now that's why I probably do more audio books than I do anything, because I have to use my special gift. Some people don't like to hear themselves speak, but this is my special gift. So some people are excellent writers, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm just not that. Mm-hmm. I would rather create an audio book and then have somebody what do you call that, dictated,
transcribe.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sorry. Transcribe it, and just as long as it don't change anything, but just transcribe it for me, and then I'll make it as a book, because that is where my gift at. But yeah, to go back to your point, you can't be in a business where it's not scalable, because if it's not scalable, you're not going to get enough clients, and you're not going to reach enough people to be able to really make this business where you can hire other people to be part of your team. And the second point I want to bring up, and let me just put that this out there too. You know, people only see me a lot of times, but I have a full-time staff. Okay. I have Tracy as my executive director. I have Nora, who's my assistant, a little everything. And I have Kevin, who's my tech guy, you know, and I have Chad, who's my content guy, who who puts all the content in behind BashaniBusiness.com. So what I'm saying is you only see me, but I do have a team. But in order to get that team, you have to have enough profit to be able to pay them and still make a profit yourself. So I just want to give them a shout out because, you know, people just see me a lot of times, but there's a teamwork. That is how I can be on a yacht in Miami right now, okay, and still able to do these interviews because Kevin is part of making that happen. That's how I can do these things. So you see what I'm saying? You need a team.
Beautiful point.
And if you have
Beautiful
a team,
point.
I don't care if you got one other person, but you're going to need a team because you can't be everywhere all the time, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
No, that's beautiful, man. So again, just to reiterate that, two powerful points that we want to highlight. One, the team building that is absolutely necessary if you want to scale your business. Everybody wants the lifestyle, Benny, but they don't know what's behind it. And so you
Ooh,
pointed out
yes.
beautifully the team that has to be in place. But even on a bigger note, or let's just say a glaring point that you brought out, because I stress it to so many individuals, because we're like a copycat nation. You know, we see someone doing something, and then we say, well, I want to do exactly what he's doing. And I'm quick to say, no, let's discover your strength, because that's going to give you your unfair competitive advantage. That's what's going to make you stick out from the crowd and, in truth, dominate your marketplace. And you beautifully exemplify that when you said that you discovered. I mean, here it is. You have this bellowy voice, you know, that everyone loves. And here it is. You use that. And it's very unapologetically. I mean, there's no one that can compete with Brother Benny's voice. And so you found your strength. I mean, you use the term gift, and it's a gift, but it's a strength that no one can even enter that arena and touch. So building a business around your strength is key, and also learning how to build a team, Brother Benny. So thank you for really bringing those points out. I know we're moving with time, but I want to. We got more stuff that I want to cover, because now we talked about. And it's something, there's a theme that we're talking about here, but I'll save that to the end. But right now, so you've gone through the phases of creating the audiobooks and books and coaching and speaking, but now you've entered into the arena of publishing. So can you kind of share, how did you, again, this is another transition or another step forward. How did you go from speaking and coaching and the audiobooks into this arena of publishing and developing platforms that publish materials, magazines and radio stations? How did that happen?
Well, here's what I've learned, that you got to see where the industry is going. And if you just look around you, there's a lot of digital companies that have changed the industry. For example, Apple, they changed the way people listen to music. Period. Okay. They pretty much knocked CDs out. You know what I mean? Because people didn't want to. They solved a problem. My coach always tells me, if you solve a problem, money won't be a problem. Woo! Y'all think y'all heard that? If you solve a problem, money won't be a problem. Okay. And they solved the problem that people just did not want to walk around with tons of CDs no more. You know, so you got to look. And then Netflix solved the problem, is why do we have to wait for you to tell us when to come watch a show? We don't want to do that anymore. So Netflix says, okay, I'm going to put all the shows you want to watch all at once. You watch them when you want to watch them, how you want to watch them. So I call this the Netflix era, you know what I mean? Because they change how we consume information. And ladies and gentlemen, information is the best-selling thing on the internet. Number one is sex. Nobody ever beat that, okay? But number two is information. So you got to always have some type of content. So I decided, instead of complaining about, you know, this station does that or this station does that, I decided, let me go ahead and create my own media platforms. I've made money, so let me take that money, because you got to continue to build and scale your industry, because we're at a time now, even the speaking business has changed, you know. Fortune 5 companies are not booking as many speakers as they used to. You know what I mean? The private platform is becoming the new, okay, the new way to go. And that's why I created BashaniBusiness.com, because what people was inboxing me saying that, you know, I get so tired of the noise. Like, you should have an area where the people who just want to hear what you got to say and the things that you do can come. So what I've learned, and my coach taught me, he told me that if a client asks you, can you do something, you says yes, and then you go find out how to do it.
Never limit
yourself. Long as it's in your scale of error, you know, find out how to do it. So I said, wow. So what people are complaining about that, because, you know, when you're on social media, you not only get the people that are interested, you get other people who are not so interested and whatever, and they wanted to get beyond that. So I created BashaniBusiness.com. This is where all my seminars, my private events, and a lot of little things that I don't put out in the open, I put there for those who felt this information was good enough for them to invest in. You know what I mean? And I just charge a flat fee, you know, for your investment, you know, so that you could just engage how you want it. You know what I mean? You can watch the seminars when you want to. You can download the books when you want to. All of that stuff behind the wall is absolutely yours to do what you want to do. So I believe you got to give the customer what they ask for. See, a lot of times people create products, and they're creating the products based on what they like. You know what I mean? That's not how you create a product. You create a product based on how it serves others. You know, even the colors, the sound, whatever it is, the look of it. If you're designing it for yourself, are you going to buy your own product? Of course you're not. So you got to design products. So that's why I decided to start creating platforms that I control so I can control the message. See, most people, when you're on other people's platforms, they control the message, you know, and they control the outcome, you know, and if they don't like what you're doing, they can pause that. Okay. So that's where I begin to create these. Because I believe it. One thing why I want to create BashaniRadio.com is that, you know, Brother Bedford, I'm at a point in my life where, like, I like to hear intelligent conversation, and I like to hear intelligent conversation from people that look like me. And I was not getting that. You see what I'm saying? It was actually dwindling. So I figured, let me create a platform that allows people like me to have intelligent conversation. And that's how BashaniRadio.com was born. That's how Bashani Business was born, out of a need. People who say, you know, I needed to hear that. And in Bashani Business, my clients and prospective clients need to hear that. They wanted to get away from everybody preaching the same thing. That, you know, because one thing I can tell, I like to tell coaches now, you can't get everybody. I don't care how good you are, you cannot get everybody. And you shouldn't try. There's a culture, you know, the people who are for Brother Bedford are not necessarily people that might be in tune to me, and vice versa. Correct. The people that like the motivator in this sexy voice might not be. I'm just messing with you. Please don't. I'm just messing people that, you know what I mean? But they may not necessarily be in tune to Brother Bedford. And that's the beauty of it right there, because, you know, there's different strokes for different folks. So I've learned that creating a platform gives you control, and it also gives you the ability to put out the type of messages you want. And I'm in a part of my life where, you know, if it's not positive, it's not for me. I don't care how I like to be entertained, but I still need it to be at a certain level, Brother Bedford. So that's why I began to create all these digital platforms, because if you don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, a lot of times what I'm learning is the big things, that, you know, sometimes being in front of the camera is not necessarily the most profitable. You know, the director can make a lot of money. You know what I mean? The person behind the scenes can make a lot of money. but I wanted to be able to distribute the type of information that I enjoy and that I would hope that others enjoy, if that answers your question.
No, that's good stuff, man. But one as a part B to that question, because you've used, you said Bashani Radio, Bashani Business, and for those, what is that? So that's a theme that you have. So what is the meaning of Bashani for those who are interested in just hearing it for the first time?
Bashani means Benny sees his artistic nature inside. Booyah. It's just like that. Because I wanted my company to connect with who I am. And honestly, I believe I have a very gift and a very artistic gift that I don't even know how it operates sometime. I just do it. For instance, when I get to, I can go, I did last year a 3-day workshop, Brother Bedford, right? That was 36 hours of information. I didn't write one word. Not one word. So that's why people call me the Jay-Z of motivation. Okay.
Inspiration. Right off the top.
You know, because it's just, you know, I don't write it down, but I formulate everything inside of my head. I formulate the bullet points, everything inside my head, and I don't actually write it down. Once again, that is a God-given gift, because to this day, I really don't understand how it works, because sometimes you can ask me to remember somebody's name. I can't. But when it comes to this gift, you know what I mean? It just flows through me. And that's what I realized, Brother Bedford. This is not me. I am simply the instrument that God is using to touch those whom he wants me to touch. It has nothing to really do with me. Okay? It comes through me. And all those experiences I survive, you know, all of those things I survive. I mean, you know, to me, I'm relatively a young guy, you know, and to this day, I've, you know, as you said in the beginning of this program, you know, I've lost my sister to senseless violence. I've lost my two brothers, my firstborn child, and my father. It's just me, my mom, and my my two beautiful kids. And what I've learned is that in each one of those cases, there was something I learned. From when we think we lose somebody, we don't really lose them. And I was taught to celebrate their life, not mourn their death. Now, that's just for me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not telling people how to do this, but that's how I've been able to get through it. I celebrate the time that God gave me with them. And then I recognize, what did I learn from that experience of with my brother and with my sister? In each one of those experiences, I've learned something, which has prompted a new product that will be coming out this year, you know, to explain those things that I learned through losing loved ones. Because everybody, and I mean everybody, is going to lose somebody they love, Brother Bedford.
Absolutely.
It's all about how you cope with it.
Absolutely. Well, I know we're getting past time, so I just got a couple more quick questions for you. I want this to kind of help those budding entrepreneurs, because I think you gave a lot of nuggets for those who are kind of in the mix, or at least they've gotten their feet wet. But for those who are truly new and trying to figure these things out, what do you think is the most important trait that a budding entrepreneur should have? What is that characteristic that you think we should have when we're starting out to help get us going?
Oh, that's easy. Start with your gift. Start with that one thing that you can do that, as I said previous, that you don't have to go to school for, that you don't have to take no extra classes for, that you could start today. And you can usually know what that gift is, because if you could start it in the next 24 hours, that means it's probably already inside of you. See, a lot of times, Brother Bedford, here's what I found that individuals do. They will go and try to do things that they're okay at and hopefully get better, instead of starting with something that they're excellent at and then building from that point. You understand? It's like I was excellent at speaking, but I still had to learn how to formulate those experiences into ideas, and those ideas into lessons, and those mm-hmm. lessons into scalable materials that could serve others. Okay. But my starting point was the gift. Like I told you, that first book I wrote, everything after that, I began to do audiobooks because that's what I do. Okay. Mm-hmm. That would resonate with people. So you have to start with your gift. And please, ladies and gentlemen, do not care what other people think about you and your gift, because what they think about you is none of your business. Okay? Because a lot of times people never get started because of what somebody else said. You know what I mean? You know, KFC got 1,009 no's when he was trying to sell that recipe, you know, for the chicken, when he got that $99 as his Social Security check. And he just wanted somebody to give him a piece of the profits on every piece of chicken sold. 1,009 no's. You're going to get some rejections. Guess me. Guess when I tell you, I apologize. You're going to get some rejections. And I tell you, you can't let that be part of your story. That's a part of their story. That's how they feel about themselves. So a lot of times people want to see other people fail just so they can feel better about themselves. So first and foremost, start with your gift. Number two, right quick, that gift you have to be able to package and scale it. Because if you can't scale it, it's going to be hard to maintain it as a business if you want to be an entrepreneur. You know what I mean? See, people write a book, Brother Bedford, but nobody wants to do the human contact. You're not going to sell many books thinking that you're going to put it on. I don't care if you got 5,000 Facebook friends, and I don't care how many people follow you on Twitter. That doesn't equal sales. You see what I'm saying? It's those who totally invest, and that's why you have to have, and I'm about to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't remember nothing else for what I'm about to say, if you don't have a list of people who bought from you, if you don't have a list of people who are prospective, you know, customers or clients, you will not win, because you will not have enough people to present to in order to convert a customer to cash. Most people want to skip that point. Nobody wants to do the human contact. Nobody wants to start a list. They just want to put a book out and say, why nobody ain't buying it? Because you ain't did nothing. That's why. You know, I know people right now who got 5 or 6 books out, but they ain't making no money because they skip one of those steps. You know what I mean? And you got to marketing. You have to market yourself every day in every way. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? You have to market yourself every day in every way. And what I mean by that is soft sales. You know what I mean? And when I say soft sales, meaning like it doesn't have to be directly in your face. But you have to continue whatever you're selling, whatever it is, you have to continue and consistently market yourself every day in order to get results. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, they make billions of dollars. But why do they still run ads? Because they don't want you to forget.
That's right.
I'm sorry, Brother Beth. I be talking, man. You got to shut me up, bro.
That's good stuff. No, that's good. I was actually going to ask you any closing remarks.
We got to go?
We're right there. Time has flown. No, so I thank you. Thank you for your time, dear brother. So what I want you to do right now is, with all of this information, I mean, you've given so many jewels, and for those who want to take a deeper dive and connect with you, tell us how we can get in contact with Benny Randall Jr.
You can simply go to BennyRandall.com. That's BENNIE Randall.com, or you can visit us over at Bashani Radio and listen to some of those powerful shows of people that look like me, and they have some powerful things to share. Or if you're really in tune and you've been somebody that know me, then you can go to BashaniBusiness.com, and I keep it all simple, and I connect that. And I want to leave your audience with this, Brother Bedford. Never underestimate the power of your contribution. Never underestimate the power of your gift. Never underestimate the power of your purpose. Because what happens oftentimes, we allow people that don't understand our journey to tell us what our journey should be. And that's just, you know, that's between you and God, brother. You know what I mean? And your journey will show up when you show up. Okay? As they say, when a student is ready, the teacher will appear. You will connect with that person's message, that person's style. You know what I mean? It that person has a certain you know, I'm gonna throw something out there about Brother Bedford that I love, and this is just my thing, but I call Brother Bedford the Black People Whisperer. You know why? Because Brother Bedford has such a way of engaging people into conversation that it's almost like he's been your friend for like 100 years. Okay, but that's what I mean by you got to know what that gift is. You know what I mean? And right. Although he coaches all different people, I'm just saying he has that special something. You know what I mean? And that's just my opinion. So what I'm saying is, what is your special sauce? What makes you unique? What works for you? What connects? What do people tell you you should do everywhere you go? Because every time I go somewhere, they say, wow, you should be on the radio. I'd be like, go to BashaniRadio.com. They say,
right,
they
right.
said, you should be a speaker. I say, go to BennyRanda.com. You know what I mean? And whatever it may right. be. You know, and that's the beauty here, Brother Bedford. I mean, it's not a game. It's a lifestyle. Let me tell you why I came up with that. Because what I realized that in life, you know, the world can play you. Or you can play it. And what do I mean by that? You know, you get exactly what you believe you deserve every single day. That's what you get. Exactly what you believe. Not what you say. Not just what you think. But what you think and what you believe in your hearts are hearts and your soul are souls. That becomes your lifestyle. I choose to have the lifestyle I want, and I wanted one thing and one thing only. I wanted freedom. Freedom to do it when I want to do it, wherever I want to do it, how much of it I want to do it. That's why I'm sitting on my friend's yacht right now having a great interview with Brother Bedford drinking iced tea. Okay? It is not a game, and nobody can tell me. It's a lifestyle, that's
right.
baby.
That's right. No, and I appreciate that. And you too, we done went full circle. Started off on the boat, and we ended up on the boat, and the reasons why you're on the boat in between. And I really appreciate this, Brother Benny, and thank you so much. Again, Brother Benny, give those websites one more time so everyone can go to those websites and engage with you a little further.
BennyRandall.com, BashaniBooks.com, BashaniBusiness.com, BashaniRadio.com, Bashani.com. You notice the consistency, ladies and gentlemen. Once you know how to spell absolutely. Bashani, you don't have to worry. I'm going to just put in Bashani and something going to come up about Benny. Okay? It is just that simple. And that's how you got to do. You got to make it consistent, and you got to make it connect with whom you want it to connect to. And I know each and every one of you out there, you have something, and you can connect. You just got to use your special sauce, whatever that special sauce, ladies and gentlemen. And like I said at the beginning, I'm going to say at the end, see my special sauce right here, the sexiest voice in personal development. I'm just messing with you. Woo!
Well, man, thank you, Brother Ben. We can go on and on and on. We have to do a part two. But once again, thank you, dear brother. I want to thank all of you who are listening and tuning in today. I would say that I hope you got something out of this, but I know if you listened intently, I know you've gotten something out of this. And so tell your friends, tell your family to come on and join us at Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs to learn what it is that they know that we don't know, what it is that makes them tick, what makes them successful, those who've been there and have done that. So once again, this is your brother Bedford, and I hope to tune in, hope you tune in and listen to another interesting and engaging conversation in the next episode of Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. So take care, everyone.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for listening to my conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. And if you want more tips, more strategies, more notifications that would really take you into the mindset of these brilliant Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs, I need you to take out your phone and text my brother, that's the keyword, my brother, to 58885. Just text the keyword, my brother, to 58885. Or if you prefer, you can go online and just go to blackmillionairemindset.com. And once you enter your name and your email, I will immediately send you my video training, 10 Keys to Unlock Your Own Millionaire Mindset. So again, you can go to blackmillionairemindset.com, enter your name and email, and I'll send you the video training, or you can text the keyword, my brother, to 58885, and I'll make sure that you get the video training. This is your brother Bedford, and I look forward to seeing you and hearing from you in the next Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. Take care.